2176, use the comment as the proposal, as the language proposal. Anybody from the public want to speak on 2176? Defines P as an absolute value number. From RAS 127. Nobody from the public wants to speak on 2176? Okay. Is there a second for approval?
Second.
Or do you want to vote? You want to vote for it, right? Or you just want to discuss it? In other words, if no one wants to, no one really wants to do it, then you just it would die for lack of second. But for purpose of discussion, if you want to discuss it, then someone will give it a second. So you're going to give it a second, Karen? Okay. That's fine. All right, we have a second discussion. Well, Jimmy and then Chris.
Okay, I'm looking at this. I'm not sure what this does. It appears to be defining P as an absolute value. First of all, back up in 2.1, P is defined as, in fact, it does it in text and in the letters. It says you calculate the field, perimeter, and corner, and then it also states that that's P1, P2, and P3, the three zones. Also, I'm fairly familiar with ASC 7, and I'm not sure the term absolute value is in there. So, to me, this would be a little more confusing than clarifying, because it is defined up in 1, so I really don't see the purpose of it. I'm going to vote against it. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for being concise. Chris?
I was going to say the same thing. It...
Okay, good. Next. Go ahead. I'm just messing with you.
No, it's fine. Basically,
go ahead.
I'm a little confused. It says P1, and the other one says 1P. Which is it? Or is that why they're P1 underlined?
It's identifying P as a footnote saying P is an absolute value of wind pressure from the ASC 7 or Table 1. That's what the proposal is.
I understand, but they need to match the one that's in the equation to the one on the bottom.
It's written wrong. It's not a 1P, it's a P1.
All right.
Isn't that a footnote reference?
Yeah, it is. Okay, that's fine.
For one footnote? No. That's one footnote.
Right. All right. Anybody else? Any further discussion?
Gonzalo.
You're supposed to make the comments before, but go ahead.
I missed it. I didn't think it was, I thought it was pretty clear. I think what the gentleman is trying to clarify is that since a lot of times pressures are designed as negative, okay, and then in the mathematical formulas, you convert them to a positive, the absolute value is a mathematical term. When you take the absolute value of a negative number, it is its positive value.
Okay. Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, raise your hands. 0, all opposed. Say aye.
Aye.
0 to 10.
No.
Okay. Next is
We're missing one.
Oh, sorry. 0 to 9. Thank you. Who are we missing anyway? Oh, Jeff Burton. Okay. Next is 2104. Is 2014 the same, or what's the story with that? All right. All right, 2104. Anybody want to speak on 2104? Revising table 127, RAS 127.
Mike Goolsby, Building Code Compliance Office. What's being done here is, correlating this table to ASC 7-02 instead of what was previously there as ASC 7-98. So that's the reason for the revision of the numbers. But I do notice something in the table where it gives the minimum slope of 1.5. Well, I understand where that comes from and why it's that way. I think it adds confusion here. So in that table one, where it has the reference to 1.25, I would like to see that change to 2. In that this is a document regarding values for tile, and you can't install tile unless in a 212 slope, and this would just, I think, introduce some confusion. Just a comment.
Okay. Anybody else want to speak on this? Okay.
Were you speaking for him, Mike? Isn't it your guy? Yeah, it's your guy. You might as well. It's your guy.
Yes, he's not here, but this is my understanding of what's taking place.
Is the new, the 06 I code still on ASC 702 or 705?
That I couldn't tell you, but I know that the Florida Building Code is on 02.
Well, and that's my question. If we're basing our these changes off of the 06 I code, that is under 05.
Mo can correct. Help me out with this. Are we going to
05? Yes, yes.
Okay. So does this table still comply? I think it'll be very close. 05 is very close to 02, but I think there's some minor changes.
Well, it looks like we're
changes.
Running behind on this table, then. I don't know if there's anything we can do about that at this point, but if we can readdress these values, otherwise we're going to be at 98 instead of 05.
So let it deny it and then we can come back.
Okay.
Okay. Is there anyone want to make a second? Okay. Motion dies for lack of second.
You said we can deny it and come back. If you want to provide comments on it, if we deny it,
okay, then I'll make a motion. I'll second the motion.
All right, any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor? You want to deny it, vote it down. Go ahead. Who wants to discuss it? If you're going to.
I do.
And then we're going to vote it down anyway.
I'm sorry. My concern is it's based on a wind speed of 146 miles, which applies to Dade County. You go to Broward, it's 140 miles an hour. You go to the Keys, it's 150. So it's specific to Dade County, not to the other two counties at this. Is it TAS or RAS?
RAS.
At this RAS applies to.
Okay. Jimmy?
No. First of all, I would need to check it, but I'm pretty sure that this would align with ASCE 705. The zero going from 98 to 02 on the range of roughly 2 and 12 to 6 and 12, it added higher pressures in the corner zone, the P3. Now, this table is code prescriptive for the high velocity hurricane zone, and it has traditionally been to the 146 mile an hour, so it can be used in either Dade or Broward prescriptive without having to get a PE or RA to calculate the pressure. So that's the advantage, but it does need to be to the higher pressures. Also, I agree with Mike that since this is specific for tile, that the 2 and 12 should be on this table and not the lower slope. If it's going to continue to be used for its intended use as a prescriptive to save having to do calculations for these heights. Thank you.
Chris?
One other comment, and maybe some of the engineers here can help me out with it. I'm a roofer, not an engineer. Comment number three at the bottom. For hip roofs with slope less than or equal to 5.5/12, P3 shall be treated as P2. As slope decreases, uplift increases. I'm curious as to why we would take a lesser zone, a P2 zone, versus a corner zone.
This was in ASC 702. As more research comes in, they're trying to tweak the code more, and there's some research available that in this slope range, there's a difference between hip and gables. Now you start getting to some houses and buildings have maybe some of both, but ASC 702 has that note in there. So this chart was pretty much out of 702, and I've been through the course for 705, and I don't recall making any notes that there was, you know, a lot of differences on that, but that is in 702, which basically says you don't have to go those higher corners with the hips. I guess the wind breaks it up. That's based on ASC 7 research.
Like I said, I'm no engineer, but it just seems to fly in the face of common sense that, you know, you treat a corner as a perimeter as uplift is increasing. So just wanted to throw that out.
Yeah, I didn't have time to go to those meetings because I was coming to these meetings, so I'm not sure how I came up with that.
Any other comments or discussion? All right. All in favor of this proposed amendment, say aye. Zero. Opposed? Nine. Okay, next is 2528, revision of the scope in Table 1 of RAS 128. I don't see your friend down. There he is. Anybody from public wish to speak on this one?
Jim Engskow, Laytide Roofing. This standard was developed, my understanding of this is, you guys can key in here, to help roofers put down roofs, pull permits for roofing, code prescriptive at certain heights where we would not have to go out and completely engineer every low slope roof we're putting on. The wording in it says that we can do that. The first line pretty much supports what I just said. It was developed to provide a responsive method. The problem we have that we're experiencing is the line that says all other calculations must be prepared, signed, and sealed by a registered architect or engineer, PE, whatever. And what we're finding is that even though we have the pressures from the table, that many of the building departments, when it comes to extrapolating fastener patterns, will not let us do that on our own. They're requiring that part of the permit be signed and sealed by an engineer and architect. There are equations under RAS 117. The math is right there for fastener extrapolation, both for base sheets and for rigid board applications. The wording that I've added there basically allows a state-certified roofing contractor to do the extrapolation math, here again, in compliance with RAS 117.
Mike Goolsby, Building Code Compliance. I don't have a problem with this modification, in favor of it. The difficulty I have is with the table below, where the ability to do this goes above 40 feet roof mean height. That's going to introduce some other problems. Hate to bring back the wood blocking again, but above 40 feet must be calculated by an engineer. So you start getting into some confusing territory once you go above 40 feet and not at that point include an architect or an engineer.
Okay. Anybody else want to speak on this one? Do you want to respond to that?
Yeah. I don't have it in front of me, but I believe RIS 111 calls for PE engineered wood blocking and flashing for above 56 feet. And I will admit that we're attempting here to broaden the code prescriptive and the responsive method just a little bit more by bringing it to 60 feet.
The references in the code is 40 feet for the wood blocking, 54 feet for edge metal details.
That's what I'm thinking.
All right. Anybody else in the public? Seeing none. Anybody want to make a second? Second for discussion? Jimmy?
Have a couple points here. To me, the original intent of this is there are prescriptive pressures, and if there is a product approval, this can be used within the limits of use or the design pressure. The first thing, once you get beyond that, when you get in the extrapolation, is going beyond that, and even at the state level, the statewide code and the product approvals, that is really a modification of the product approval. So the other thing is, now some of the roofers were talking about wood blocking being outside the scope of their license. We're setting quite kind of a precedent here when we're saying that a roofing license entitles you to design beyond the product approval, whether it's a NOA or a state product approval. So I think that needs to be considered, carefully. And then if this table is moved from 40 to 60 feet, I think the pressures not all need to be checked for before this thing went through, if that's the desire of the committee. Thank you.
Billy, and then I've got Mark, and then Karen.
I would be in favor of this with the caveat that you take out the 50 and 60 if that's what's going to kill it. Okay, that's a friendly amendment. Number two, we have always had is code prescriptive language as well as the calculations that are within RAS 117 of how to do the extrapolations. And for the most part, a lot of times that had to be explained to how to get those extrapolations done to the architect or engineer. And most contractors do it themselves and take it to them, and they just review it and sign and seal. It's just a cost, another cost. If we're given the mathematical calculations in the code to follow, is very plain, it's very easy to follow, it's very simple to do the extrapolations. I think Mike agreed with that, that we ought to be able to do our extrapolations using the methods provided within the code. I do, however, find that you may have a legal problem with only allowing a state-certified contractor rather than a licensed contractor, because now you've just eliminated all the registered contractors that are out there. And I don't know that that wouldn't be a legal liability or something that wouldn't need to be considered. But I think that, I know myself, we do the calculations ourselves all the time, and it's a very basic, simple mathematical equation that's given to us in RAS 117. So I would be in favor of this if you would amend the 50, 60 feet and take it out of the chart.
Okay. Mark?
I'm with Billy on the point of the licensing of a state roofing contractor. You have local contractors that do roofing as well under this code, who've been doing it for quite some time. So, but then again, we also have to throw in any contractor that's going to use this. I mean, that may be a mistake to allow for a licensed contractor. I think you need to think about that, because we start putting contractor in there, somebody could say, why just the roofing contractor? Why can't a general contractor do it then? And if he can do it, why can't anybody else do it? So it may be a legal problem there. You might be right on that. But the other thing that I would suggest is that you remove where it says signed and sealed by a professional engineer or registered architect or prepared, because it's redundant. You've already said that in the sentence before that, where it says calculations for fastening pattern extrapolation shall be acceptable for permitting when, and then remove signed and sealed by a professional engineer or registered architect, because you're using RAS 117 if the contractor is allowed to do that, if you allow that to go through. Plus, I would say the same thing about the height restrictions.
Karen?
I agree with Billy about the 50 and 60. Enough said on that. I have a problem with these being signed by a certified Florida State certified roofing contractor. There are contractors and there are contractors, Billy. The guys here, I wouldn't have any problems at all having these things signed by you guys. It's the guys out there that I have a problem with. And so I can't support that at all.
Okay. Buck, I had you on the list. Don't worry. You were too slow on the draw. Go ahead.
This is a question directed to Billy. You have to help me because I'm trying to catch up. What is the difference between a state-certified contractor and a registered contractor?
Where's legal? You'd like me to explain it to you, huh, Buck?
Well, besides the fact that I have a one's a registered, which can be done on a local level, and which is not the state license. That's done at the local county. Maybe they've got a county license rather than a state license. What else, Mike? You're looking at me and laughing because you're having fun with this one, but...
Mr. Chairman, I can help you out there.
Come on, Doug.
They can be locally licensed to work in that jurisdiction, but they still have to register with the state as a roofing contractor. That's why registered contractor appears on their license. I agree. I think that is an issue because in most local jurisdictions, if they maintain the renewal of their license, they're allowed to continue to work. So to say only a state-certified roofing contractor could do it, if you had a registered contractor that follows all the rules and renews every year, he should be able to do it as well.
Also, question or in reference back to Karen's question as well as Mark's, I can tell you that I have built plan review people deny signed and sealed architect and engineers calculations because I'm told that they didn't do it properly. So it is getting reviewed, and it's very simple for them to follow because it's code. It is the code. It's part of the code and how to follow that preparation of the calculation. Going back to what Mark said in reference to why not let any contractor do it, well, I'll go back to wood nailers and tell you that this is in the roofing code, and that's the argument you used before, was keep wood nailers in the roofing code because that's where it belongs. Well, this belongs in roofing and not to a general contractor. General contractors don't get to do roofing anymore. Now their time's over.
Can I address that?
Sure, why not?
Hey, thank you. Well, then I would suggest that we don't put the roofing contractor in there because the person who's going to be pulling a permit for the roof is going to be the roofing contractor. It doesn't need to be designated like that. You understand what I'm saying? If you put it in there, I mean, I don't know if Jim's here, if he can answer that question or not, if somebody else could pull on that same thing.
All right.
Well, if there's any calculation.
Go ahead, Jack, and then we'll take the vote because it's not going to make it.
Just a quick one. State certified is passing the state examination, right. Approval by the board, financials, all that. Local or registered contractor could have, if he's grandfathered for 15 years, their license requirement at the local level may have been that he knew the mayor. There is no criteria for what one has to do to become a locally licensed contractor other than to satisfy the requirements of the local jurisdiction, and it may be no more than paying a fee.
That's right. Did you want to propose?
Yeah, make the distinction
between the amendment.
All right. Well, first we need a second.
We have a second.
Well, that's so long ago I forgot. Okay, we've got a second. You want to propose some amendment to it?
Yeah, I'd like to propose that we take the word "or prepared" out in the last sentence, and we take 50 and 60 feet off the chart. I'd make that motion.
All right, the motion is to approve the proposal with the deletion of the 50 and 60 feet from the chart and take it, striking out the language "or prepared." All right.
I thought the whole language about this license. Are we deleting a sign that's sealed by a professional engineer or...
Nobody proposed that. That was just public comment.
Yeah, but still, I thought...
That's not going to read right. You need "or."
Oh, okay. I didn't know we had made that change.
No, I think somebody... I'm just trying to understand what you guys want to do. That's fine. Go ahead.
Verbiage reads correct.